The gospel provides us with a mirror that shows us possibility, shows us a new way, and shows us the beauty of fruitful abiding. We must be willing to get in front of that mirror. We must be willing to see that what we are calling fruitfulness is nothing but weeds. We must see that we are really not abiding in Jesus. Instead, we are abiding in our own sense of self.
That's the Reverend Juan Huertas. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is a new day of faith and hope. This is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. In 2015, we're celebrating 70 years of faithful weekly broadcasts, beginning in 1945 as the Protestant Hour and continuing since 2002 as Day One. Now, here's our host, Peter Wallace, to introduce this week's preacher.
Thank you, Sherry. We're honored to welcome to Day One today the Reverend Juan Huertas, lead pastor of Grace Community, a United Methodist congregation in Shreveport, Louisiana. Before coming to Grace Community last year, Juan served as senior pastor of St. John's United Methodist Church in Baton Rouge, and before that as pastor of Squires United Methodist in Ragley, Louisiana. Juan is a graduate of Louisiana College and Candler School of Theology at Emory University. He blogs at spiritstirrer.org. Juan, welcome to Day One.
It's good to be with you.
It's been a joy to follow your ministry over the years. 11 years ago, you participated in a Day One program with two other seminarians who were fellows of FTE, now the Forum for Theological Exploration. Since then, you've served two churches in Louisiana, and you last preached on Day One 3 years ago. And now, for the past year, you've been serving as lead pastor of Grace Community, a thriving United Methodist congregation in Shreveport. So, what's unique about Grace?
Grace is a diverse, a very gifted congregation musically, a congregation that has been able to reach deeply into the Shreveport-Bossier community and gather together a group of folks that probably wouldn't have come together for any other reason. And yet they have been able to be in ministry in real, wonderful ways in these 22 years in the community missionally. They have spoken about issues that have been important for this community for these 22 years. And so we are a unique community because of that diversity, because of that unique mix of folks who have come together in these 22 years.
I understand you're very mindful about worship at Grace, constantly asking, how do we create worship that allows space for God to cause vivid transformation in the lives of people? So what are some of the ways you're answering that question?
You know, just like 22 years ago, we asked ourselves, how can worship connect with the community around us? That's a question that we're constantly asking. And we're still, Peter, trying to find what that answer looks like for us today.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, many things have changed in 22 years. And among those is the growing of technology, social media engagement. And so we are finding ways to say, how can we then utilize all the resources available for us in worship, in mission, in formation, that will truly connect everyday people, especially people who maybe have left the church, who maybe are no longer connecting to the church, or maybe have never known of the church. How can we allow for those folks to experience the risen Lord and be able to connect with these other folks who are on a similar journey of discovery? And so for me, we are still answering that question. We're still looking for what this means for us in 2015 and beyond. But I think what's exciting is that we are willing to be asking these important questions.
You mentioned the diversity that your church possesses, and that's very exciting. Diversity in social and economic class, race, age, political affiliation, orientation. Why do you think your church draws such a wide variety of folks?
I think from the very beginning, we made a decision to be an open community. So openness is a key value for us. Now, you know what's fascinating is that openness sounds great and good until you begin to practice it. And then that's when the difficulties begin. And I think Grace Community has been able to then navigate those difficult waters through the years and begin to put people next to one another in worship, in the band, in the team that that leads us in media and technology, in teams that welcome people. And there's such a difference when you begin serving neighbor together. There is a difference when you begin to get to know one another beyond the stereotypes that are so prevalent in our world today. And so I think that didn't just provide for this growing diverse community, but now has kind of paved the way to what I would say is the next step in that. In other words, the next step being, so in light of those relationships and in light of this diverse community, then how can we have conversations? How can we have engagements in our community that then model for that community what it means to be one people through difference? Hmm. So people don't have to hide who they truly are, but they are then able to be who they are through that difference and then say why. Why are we brothers and sisters in Christ through our difference? And how important is that difference in our walking the journey of faith as disciples of Jesus?
Well, Juan, your sermon this week focuses on the gospel lesson for the fifth Sunday of Easter, John chapter 15. Would you read it for us?
Absolutely. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples.
Jesus uses a very organic image here of our relationship with God, and by my count, the word abide is used 8 times in this beautiful passage. I take it that's a key word. What's it mean?
One of the interesting things as I was getting ready for the sermon was that that idea of abiding as a place you live in, mm-hmm. as a place you take root in, as a place you take your residence in. And so for me, that all of a sudden just really shakes up my understanding of discipleship. You know, we so often use discipleship and say that it's a journey. Well, yeah, it's a journey, but it's actually a very deeply rooted journey. It's rooted in our home in God, in our home in Christ. And then the challenge is that when we abide in this way, then we have to invite others in our living of our lives, in our bearing fruit, then we invite others to come home. And wow, that's a very dynamic and a very rooted and a very comfortable yet uncomfortable place to be. Mm. So these juxtapositions about abiding make it a very personal and difficult thing. And yet at the same time, it's a very hopeful and salvific and healing thing.
Your sermon is entitled Abiding Fruit. Juan, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Peter.
And don't forget, if you'd like to listen again to today's program or read or share a transcript of Juan Huertas' sermon, visit our website at dayone.org. Or for a free printed sermon transcript, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1.
I wonder if we're willing to abide in anything, to immerse ourselves wholly in something, to allow anything to captivate our heart and life, to view our whole existence through that one lens. At first, I want to say no. No one would be willing to give of him or herself in that way. It sounds too constricting. But then I begin to think about the many things that we give ourselves to. Our jobs, our families, our hobbies, interests, or activities. I begin to think about the things that we spend our time doing, the things that we give our lives to. Many of us are sports fans. We dress up, we go to games, and we make the time. Some of us love our television programs, so we sit there and even binge watch. We cannot wait for the next season to begin again. So as it turns out, we are constantly abiding, constantly living in, taking residence in, fixing ourselves permanently on many things in our lives. Our abiding speaks to our rooting, and it turns out that we're rooting in different ways every day. We do so every moment of our lives. We kid ourselves if we think that those things that root us are not affecting us, shaping us, and transforming us. The proof of our shaping is evident all around us. That which we value, which we spend our time doing, the activities that we engage in, our attitudes and ways of engagement, all speak to the things that captivate our hearts. These things are the fruit of our abiding, the fruit of our rootedness. All we have to do is pay attention to our daily smartphone notifications to recognize the fruit of our abiding. Violence, objectification of neighbor, systemic prejudice, greed, and our incessant consumption speak to our hunger. Where are we abiding? What's our rootedness? Are we truly rooted? Are we truly abiding in Jesus? Are we letting Jesus abide in us? This is a difficult question. I struggle just thinking about it. It seems like it would be an easy answer. I want to say, of course I abide in Jesus. Of course Jesus abides in me. This seems like the answer that any good Christian would give. A good answer for a pastor, right? But if I'm honest, I have to recognize that often. I do not abide in Jesus, and I'm not alone. We abide. Oh, we abide in things that we think we can control, then they end up controlling us. We abide in things that require little of us, but they end up taking our souls, abide in the security of my small ideas about God, and they end up making me more anxious than ever with every contrary opinion and enemy, and every enemy beyond redemption. Our abiding seems fruitful. Our vines seem healthy. They might even be producing grapes, but it's rotting grapes, underdeveloped grapes, seedless grapes, grapes that are unable to produce the wine of the kingdom. Grapes of idolatry, self-importance, and self-righteousness. Grapes of a myopic view of the world where God only loves those that we love and where God hates like we hate. Grapes of control over our lives and over others. Grapes of our participation in structures that perpetuate an individualist and egocentric community. Grapes that keep us from paying attention to the needs of others, that keep others at arm's length. Grapes that refuse to put ourselves in the place of the other and to live alongside them. It is hard having to face the reality that what we have produced is truly not fruit, but weeds, of how overgrown everything is around us, how truly unrooted and unfruitful it is, how unwilling we are to face our reality, to be pruned, to have anyone, anything question our fruitfulness. In other words, we fool ourselves when in reality all that stuff that comes from me, it's not fruit at all. It's It's just weeds. Just weeds. These weeds keep me from experiencing the grace that God has given me, that these weeds that I have confused with fruit are now allowing me to move forward into growing love of God and neighbor. One of the key places where I see the weediness mistaken for fruitfulness is in the unhealthy rhetoric of our day. In our civic life and social media engagement, and in our personal conversations, we have become divisive. We have become unwilling to listen, unwilling to see other points of view. We have couched this weediness in talk around what is right, truth, in our own desire for a so-called better life. But in the end, we have questioned the motives of others. We have called other names. We have made caricatures of the positions of others and have become peddlers of untruth. All this shows us that none of this is truth. None of this is abiding in Jesus. None of this. We have allowed fear, ignorance, and our limited understanding of God to take root in our souls. We have chosen to allow our souls to become rooted in a religious version of ourselves instead of being rooted in God's abiding love. More importantly, many of us who claim the way of Jesus, who have been called by God to love God and neighbor, to love our enemy, and to be bearers of truth, have not lived differently. Instead, we have carried the unfruitful practices of our society into the church and have, at times, even led the way into strawman arguments, character assassination, and divisive conversation. We should be convicted, for Christ gives us an invitation. Christ says, "Come and open yourself up to being grafted to me. I have strong roots. I have the DNA needed to make you fruitful, alive, and to make us flourish, to make all of creation flourish." So Jesus calls us to be rooted in him. We must then cut ourselves from our root in sin and death and graft ourselves in the personhood and identity of Jesus. He tells us that only in him can we truly be fruitful, that everything else is to be cut off, to be removed. Wow. This is difficult work. The gospel provides us with a mirror that shows us possibility, shows us a new way, and shows us the beauty of fruitful abiding, of God's call to new life. We must be willing to get in front of that mirror. We must be willing to see that what we are calling fruitfulness is nothing but weeds. We must see that we are really not abiding in Jesus. Instead, we are abiding in our own sense of self. Only then will we be able to see what it looks like to let God clear the way so that we can live a fruitful life. The process is not easy. It requires a dramatic vulnerability, a willingness to let go. It requires our willingness to find a new home and a new center. So Jesus provides us with the way. Our following Jesus grafts us, cuts us from our rootedness in sin and death, the unhealthy roots of the human condition, and then allows us to live a new life. Jesus then becomes our root, our vine, with God the Father being the one that grows it, tends it, and makes sure that it is healthy and whole. We are then invited to be the branches, the flowering and visible presence of Jesus in the field of God's kingdom. So imagine what that looks like. Imagine our commitment as followers of Jesus to allow the Holy Spirit to graft us into Christ, to allow the nurturing, energetic, and fruitful presence of Jesus to be the source of life for us. In order for this reality to happen, we must abide. In order for our branches to be fruitful, we must allow for this relocation, transplantation, and transformation to occur, to happen in us. We are seeing again and again our need to recalibrate our lives into fruitfulness rooted in our abiding, in our changing of address, in the permanence of God's identity as love. Making our home in God, inhabiting God's place, living into Christ's identity requires that we acknowledge our need to be grafted, that our salvation, our healing is dependent on our willingness to acknowledge our interdependence with God, each other, and all of creation. Our Grace community here in Shreveport, Louisiana, we are committed to living in this way, to live in fruitful abiding. We are committed to living in this way by being agents of conversation, by being space makers for engagement, by being a people that teach one another what it means to be in loving and respectful relationship with those that we disagree, allowing those things to be the fruit of our abiding in Jesus. This is difficult work, but I believe that we must live in this way. We must be willing to engage the difficult conversations of our day. We must be willing to abide in the midst of the difficulty. That's where Jesus would live, and allow the fruit of our abiding, the love and grace of Jesus, to be made known in our communities. Now more than ever, God's people must lead the way into conversations that uplift, conversations that restore, conversations that renew, conversations that reconcile, conversations that honor the image of God in the other. It is my prayer today that we can begin a movement of people committed to being agents of reconciliation, committed to a movement rooted in Jesus, a movement that inhabits the way of Jesus and that allows for the way of Jesus to inhabit the world. A movement of abiding fruitfulness that shines a light on God's reconciling love in Jesus and in the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
This is Sherry Miller. Why should you support the Day One Radio Ministry? Because it's helping countless people like you. For instance, Brenda, a listener in Pennsylvania, says, "Every Sunday, Day One gives me a message I can carry throughout my week." Mike in Minnesota says, "There's not another program like Day One. It allows you to hear the Word of God from so many gifted voices." Please, give generously so Day One can continue to proclaim this much-needed message on the radio and online. Mail your gift to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. That's 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Or call us at 1-888-411-DAY1. Or give securely online at dayone.org. On behalf of everyone at Day One, thank you for your support. Juan Huertas offers some final thoughts on his message today with our host, Peter Wallace.
Juan, you said Jesus calls us to abide in Him, to immerse ourselves wholly in Him, which can sound very constricting, yet you pointed out that we are constantly abiding or rooting ourselves in all sorts of things in life, and we kid ourselves if we think the things that root us are not affecting us and shaping us. Would you say more about the kinds of things we might be rooted in and how we can assess that personally?
That's such a neat question, Peter. You know, sometimes we come to the Christian faith and we have this assumption somehow that we are neutral, right? That we come into the community and into our engagements with God and neighbor in a neutral way. But truth be told, as I've said in the sermon, we are actually shaped, deeply shaped by all sorts of things. Our environment, our families, the ads that we see on television, all those things really shape us. Mm-hmm. And so for me, one of the key ways that we can kind of assess what's really shaping us is the communities, living in community, living in trusting relationships with our sisters and brothers in Christ, and ask them to help you see those places that are keeping you captive, those places where you are abiding, that you're abiding in, that are not helpful in your love of God and neighbor. And to me, out of those relationships, then you are able to then do that daily check-in. I'm thinking of, for example, Ignatius practice, the Ignatian Examen, right? So you ask yourself, so where is God today? Where have I seen God in my own life and in my own heart? And then where have been those places in my own behavior and in my own encounters where God has felt absent? So the community engagement and the truth-telling and in love in that community then provides for what I think should be a daily check-in in our own lives, a check-in on our souls.
Right. If we abide in things that require little of us, that control us, that keep our understanding of God too small, you said, we will only produce rotten, seedless grapes. But Jesus calls us to abide in Him, so Jesus becomes our root, our vine, and God grows it, tends it, and makes sure it is healthy and whole, making us into flowering branches that reveal the presence of Jesus in the field of God's kingdom. It's a beautiful image, but how do we enter into this abiding presence of Jesus?
So it's interesting to hear my quote back at me, Peter. As I hear it, it's almost like, wow, that's a very strong one. But I think that for me, we enter into the abiding presence of Jesus, first of all, by looking at ourselves in the mirror and seeing the image of God in us, to tell ourselves, you belong to God, you're God's beloved. And I believe that when we do that, then when we walk out our doors, we begin to see God's beloved everywhere, all around us. Mm. And that begins a process of recognition. So even if we make a mistake or somehow they'll not live into this reality, we keep on reminding ourselves, I am a beloved child. And then when others come towards us and they are not maybe behaving in loving, life-giving, justice-seeking ways, then we say, but yet they are beloved too. And that, to me, that movement, it sounds so simple, but it is complex. But it is that movement that begins the healing work in us, that enters us into the presence of Jesus each day, and that helps us recognize the presence of Jesus in places that we might have not seen it before. I believe if we practice this fruitful abiding, it will change absolutely everything.
Juan Huertas, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Peter.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.